She laughed and laughed, and then I started laughing. I laughed at my own joke. Hey, how about that?
Anyway, I'm going to hand up. Oh, I hope no one's got one of those buns today. Sorry. We know who your father is. And I'm going to hand over to Joshua because he's going to. I just got an awesome word on his heart, and then I'm going to jump in and do a tag. Is that cool?
Excellent. Lord, we just thank you that we can come around your word, and Lord, your word to us is life itself. We want you to speak to us today. We invite you to come, Holy Spirit, into, Lord, not just into our midst, but into our mind and into our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us, Lord, will be richer for your presence. Lord, indeed, how could we not be? And I pray, Lord God, that today, Father, your word would do something fresh and something new, something meaningful, Lord, because, Lord, you are everything to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I've got a little photo that I just want to just throw up. Perhaps we can put that photo up there. And so good to be back here, to see your faces. So awesome to be back here. And look at that. You can see that there. That there is Jim. That's Dad, Karen's dad. And, you know, he once was, you know, taller than me and full of muscles, and he's a builder, and now he's... Yeah, the one on the left is Dad. Yeah. The one on the right is me, Lynette. Thank you. And I took that selfie because I just wanted to get just a clip of who we've been with for the last 2 months, just spending some really precious time with Dad. And Dad is dying from cancer, and he has skin cancer and other forms of cancer. And but he's also found faith in Christ. And it's a simple faith, but he's got something that he's confronting. He's confronting the prospect of death, and who knows that there are no unbelievers in a foxhole. And Dad has finally come to this place of realizing that his life is coming to a conclusion, and he's got peace with God, and it's just so good, and it's so good to be connecting with him at a level that you and I understand, where we're actually connecting at a level where there is a spiritual connection, a reality of God in our world that makes all the difference. Amen? Amen. I want to speak today, before I hand over to Karen, a little bit about sight or vision. When I first became a Christian, I was a great King James Bible reader. You know, I believe that the King James Bible was the real Bible. If Jesus read the King James Bible, so should I. And so I used to read the King James Bible, and I learned all my memory verses in the King James English, completely useless and irrelevant to this world. But however, it was handy, you know, because I'd start to learn all these verses and read my Bible. And one verse that forever impressed upon my mind was found in Proverbs 29, verse 18. And I've spoken on this before, but let me just reiterate right here what that verse says. And in the King James, it says this: without vision, the people perish. Without vision, the people perish. Over the years, I noticed that this particular verse in the Bible is interpreted by other versions as the translators have taken the Hebrew, because the original was Hebrew, and brought it into English. As they've come to this particular verse, they have tried to explain or bring the essence of what it is that the author, through the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit moving through them, what they were trying to say. And so they say this verse in other ways. They say it like this: without vision, people dwell carelessly. Others say, without progressive revelation, people cast off restraint. I look in my Bible here today, and let me read it to you from my Bible. And I read this and I realize, why is there so many different ways of saying this? And I believe that what it carries, what it shows us, is that God's word has a depth that's just simpler than, it's far more simple, but far more profound than just, without vision we perish. Without vision we perish. This is what it says in my Bible here. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Who knows that there have been great leaders in this world that have had vision? Not all leaders have been great. Not all great leaders have been good leaders. It would be true to say that Adolf Hitler had great vision, but we wouldn't say he was a good leader. But you would be wrong to say he wasn't a great leader, because he led a whole world into war. Yet he must have had, and definitely had, vision. It's also true of other leaders all down through history. Modern leaders today have vision. They can see. But I believe that this vision that we're getting from the Bible that it's talking about here is something more than just the ability to see a good plan. Do you know, I think that we should have vision for our lives. You should have vision because your vision, your expectation is actually smaller than what God sees for you. Your vision is way smaller because you don't have the capacity and the ability to see what God can see. You know, if you're looking for a partner in life, some of you here are looking for your partner in life. You get to the point where you think, well, you know, anyone will do that one. Anybody, somebody with two legs, somebody that's breathing, that person will do. No, God has got a great vision for you that exceeds what you see. It goes beyond. Sometimes our vision is too small. Or we might have a vision for a promotion. I would be happy to get another 50 cents an hour. But God sees something greater for you, something that goes beyond, that you can believe for more because God has a greater capacity than we do. And He is our Father and He loves us and He has something in store for us. We might have a vision for our ministry that somehow we're going to serve God and something that we're going to do. But the vision that you have is small compared to what God has for you. But when I look at the word here, I realize that it's not just talking about this kind of capacity that you see in worldly leaders or even Christians, you and I sitting here today, where we can see something of the future, we can anticipate something and work toward it. Yes, it does mean that. It does mean that we have a goal or a plan or an idea of the future and we go for it. But I believe vision here that causes us to perish is not just simply the inability to have an idea of what's coming tomorrow. That's excellent, but it's deeper than that. It means more to have vision in God. So coming this morning and just coming around the word, I realized that in the last few weeks, as the Lord's been just speaking to me from Elijah. Elijah was a man, he was a prophet, God had called him, he went and he spoke to several kings and he was very influential in a nation. But I also realized that it doesn't talk a lot about Elijah's vision. We read in the Bible, we say, well, obviously had great impact on a nation, obviously had a great idea of what God wanted to do. And down through the word, you can see examples of people being told by God and led by God and leaders that have been influential and changed the world in the course of nature in their own life. But this guy, Elijah, we don't hear a lot about his vision, what he was after, what he was going for. And yet we see time after time, God moving in his world and he's becoming influential and having an impact. But there's no sort of blueprint as to what he's doing. And yet everybody recognizes that this prophet, this fellow called Elijah, was one of the greatest prophets. I see that in Elijah's life, it wasn't just that he was spoken to by God to do something. Would you like to be that person? Someone that God speaks to and that mission starts to well up within your heart, an idea of the future of what he wants to do, and to say, oh, God's leading me. I know God's bringing me into a new future. I would. I want to hear God's voice. And yet Elijah, he wasn't just getting downloads from heaven to influence his world. He was also getting downloads in his heart and in his life to influence his day. It was that God spoke to him and said, look, Elijah, I want you to go and influence the nation and talk to the king about there's going to be a great drought in this nation for 3 years. Elijah was obedient. He followed the mission. But then God said, I want you to go to the brook at Cherith because I'm going to look after you there. Do you see how God's provision became integral and part of his life? He wasn't just having to always be this champion that went out and did something great. God was concerned with his day. He was concerned with what was happening in his moment. And he's concerned with your day, your moment. It's not just, yeah, I've got you as a Christian now, and now I can get you to do stuff to influence this world. I hope he does. I hope God calls you to do something great. But listen, he's interested in your day. He's interested in what's going to happen today, tomorrow. With Elijah, he went to the brook at Cherith and he had miraculous provision. He was cared for. When that came to an end, God then spoke to him and says, now I want you to go and see a widow, a Sidonian widow. She's going to look after you. There's a drought. She's got nothing. She's about to die. But God cared for Elijah and that woman and her family as a result of what was happening with him that day. God is interested in your day. He's interested in what's happening in you. I really believe that as we just read this verse here, that if we have vision, we will not perish. If we have vision, we won't dwell carelessly. If we have vision, we won't cast off constraint. That means that we will use self-control in our lives. If we have vision. But it's not just talking about this big picture of what we're going to do down the path. It's talking about our vision right now. Our vision of God. Our vision of what he's doing in our world and in our life. When Paul's talking, he says this. We are not the children of the night and the children of the darkness. We are of the day and of the light. We should wake up, he says. We should wake up. In other words, he's saying that, and then he finally finishes off actually by saying, but whether awake or asleep, we'll be safe with him. Wait a minute, Paul. What are you saying? We can be asleep and still be gods? Yes, we can. You see, sleep by definition is lack of vision. Sleep by definition, when Paul's talking about, he's not talking about us sleeping at night or walking around during the day. It's a metaphor of our existence. And so Paul's saying, whether you're awake or asleep, you'll be with him. But listen, you are people of the day and of the light. He's saying that we should have vision. And when you got up this morning, you didn't sort of get up and go, you wander around the room with your eyes closed. You opened your eyes. You opened your eyes. It just about fell over then. Do you know, I've got this moon boot on. I found a really interesting thing, that you can't actually do the moon walk in a moon boot. Yeah, that's right. Well, there you go. I'll go forward instead of backwards. You know, I broke my foot. I mean, it's like, you know, in World War II, what they did is they retired all those tanks and they took the turrets off the top and they turned them into concrete mixers. So we've got one of those. We had one of those. A friend of mine up north had one of those concrete mixers made from a tank turret. You know, that's a joke, eh? I said this to a lady last night. I said, yeah, you know, concrete mixer from World War II. Really? Yeah, they got the turrets and they turned them into concrete mixers. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, no, I actually made that up. So I dropped this concrete mixer. I was with Ben, and Ben said, look, he's a weightlifter. He says, I'll take the weight. It was in a van, and we had to lift it out. I'll take the weight on the inside. You stand on the outside. And so we're lifting this concrete mixer out, but they have this bowl thing that rotates. It doesn't matter how strong you are. When it starts doing this in your hands, you can't hang on to it. And so, you know, there was this moment when this concrete mixer starts going, you know, in slow motion. You know how you have one of those slow motion movements? Yeah, I didn't have one of those. No, it just went smack on my foot. And I knew my foot was broken when that happened. And so we're about to do some concreting and some foundations. And so I went and sat down and I put my foot up. And, you know, and I'm going, I didn't cry. No, I got a big stick. And I said, right, Ben. And to the other guy that was working, I said, come on, okay, dig a hole over there. No, not there. Dig a hole there. Okay, and one there. Okay, now dig a hole there. That was a fun day, that day. Vision. Vision. I'll tell you what vision is. I'll tell you what vision is in God, more than just this idea of having a goal for the future. I hope you do have a goal for the future. I hope you do have great dreams. I want you to know that God is for you. He's not against you. He wants to bring a pass of what's happening in your life and what he has for you. Yes, it is that, but it's not just that. That would be a small way of describing what vision is. Vision is a regular, daily, ongoing encounter with heaven. Come on. That's vision. Just like when you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes. You don't open your eyes and say, I've seen. Okay, let's go. With your eyes closed. You don't do that. You keep your eyes open. Because as you're walking around, you've got to keep seeing. Otherwise, you trip and stumble and fall. Because if you have your eyes closed, you don't. It's like you're in the night. No, you open your eyes and you have them open throughout the day, apart from blinking. You regularly are looking to see where you're going. You've got vision. And in a spiritual sense, what that means for us is that we're having regular encounter with God. That he's speaking to us. Sam alluded to this morning. It's not just a come on Sunday or just I had a quiet time this morning and I hope you do those things, but it's more. It's more than that when you're having vision. And vision causes us to live differently. You know, my brother Milton, he's in Wellington at the moment. He came up this week because they discovered he had a brain tumor. And the brain tumor was in the seeing portion of his brain, which is at the rear. And he came up and he's just having this rebirth encounter and closeness with God. And at the same time, actually just slightly, he started getting all right with God and getting back into a right place with God. And at the same time, he's discovered he's got cancer, serious cancer, cancer in his brain and cancer in his lung. He's in danger. And yet there's such a positiveness about him. He's not talking about his condition and woe is me. I'm not saying he's not concerned. He is concerned. What I'm saying is that he's rediscovered vision. His eyes have opened. It's like this has become a catalyst for him to see. And so here he is in hospital just this week. In the morning, I went and saw him and we talked and he was just talking about how God was so good. And then he said, God spoke to me this week. I said, really? And he said, yes. I was just, I'd been up and down through the night and then I got up and I was having a quiet time. And then as I was just sitting there, I heard his voice and he spoke to me. He wasn't being metaphorical. He's saying that he heard the voice of God. The Lord just said to him, you have my righteousness and I am with you. And he just had such a peace about this dreadful situation he's having to face. Going to Wellington and having all-day surgery with the prospect that when he wakes up, he may not have vision. They're about to take the seeing portion of his brain and take the cancer out. When he woke up, he felt normal. I went and saw him. I've got a picture on my phone, and there I've done a selfie with him too. And he's there, and we're both laughing and smiling, and he can see, and he says the surgeons are amazing, and God's hand was with them. And just such a positive, you know, and he's just so full of peace and joy. Why? Because he can see a vision of the future. Why? Because he can see that he's got a great ministry coming up or something amazing is going to happen. No, because he's having a daily encounter with God. His eyes are open. Sometimes it takes a dilemma. I don't think God brings sickness upon us just so we'll open our eyes, but I think sickness does come upon us, and it is an open opportunity to open our eyes. And so my brother has vision. If we have vision less, we end up being in a state of visionlessness. I didn't even know if that's a word. Visionlessness. So visionlessness, if you have visionlessness, you end up living in listlessness. Visionlessness makes us listless. It makes us tired. It makes us depressed. We lose direction. We lose confidence. We lose our peace. Is it because we can't see a bright future? No, it's because we didn't hear the voice of God today. That's vision. God is light. Jesus said the eye is the light of the body. He was saying our eye is our organ that lets light into our body. And in a similar way, when we open our eyes to heaven, the light of heaven comes in. God speaks to you. Opening our eyes brings in vision. Vision. And when we've got vision, we don't live carelessly. When we've got vision, we don't cast off restraint. When we've got vision, we don't die. When we've got vision, we live. When we've got vision, we have hope. We have peace. We have confidence. You know, I don't want to talk too much, but I want to hand over to Karen in a moment, and she's going to pick up from those words, confidence and peace. I know she's got something great to share. What I really wanted to say to you today, all of us, is this. Now it's daytime. It's not nighttime. Open your eyes. Wake up. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to you. It's an exhortation. Wake up. Have a regular encounter with heaven. You will see. And peace and confidence will flood your world because God wants you to see. Amen? Amen. Come on, put your hands together for Karen as she comes on up.
Yeah, I get the whistles and Joshua doesn't. He's saying it was belated. If you didn't hear that, it was for him. I just love what Josh has been sharing because the last, couple of months have been out of ministry, but in ministry, because we never are out of ministry. In that intimate time with God, He is preparing us every day to encounter Him, to bring the love of God, to spread the kingdom of God into our sphere of influence every single day. And we need to really get a hold of that, get a hold of that word, because if that's not happening for you, it will be difficult for you to live life in all its fullness and all its abundance. And he was saying about having assurance and confidence, and that comes from God. And when I was praying about what to share, I've called this journey into love, because the last 2 months have been that for me personally. And he gave me Psalm 118:11, and I'm like, God, I don't get this. And he says, you will, as you prepare this message. And it's, yes, they surrounded and attacked me, but I destroyed them with all the authority of the Lord. You think, what's that got to do with love? Yes, they surrounded and attacked me, but I destroyed them with all the authority of the Lord. And he's been really showing me about authority and having authority in Christ. And it's not having, I'm lording it over you. It's nothing like that. It's a much deeper work, because authority in this context means freedom from doubt, belief in yourself and your God-given abilities, having an assurance and a confidence in God. That's what it means to have authority. And how does that relate to a journey into love and with what Josh has been saying about vision and encountering God? Well, it's all actually tied up together. And the authority that God gives us is got everything to do with our walk with Christ, our daily walk with Him. So I'm going to just tell you a little bit about our journey of the last several weeks, because it has been about grasping the immense love of God. Over my time, my prayer has been, God, reveal to me your love. Like, I want a revelation of your love. I mean, I've walked with God all these years and I've felt His love, and there have been times when we feel love through others and that, but I just wanted something beyond that. I just wanted a deeper revelation. And so when you ask God something like that, it's be prepared for discomfort, because it hasn't been a comfortable journey. My father, and you saw the photo of my father, as most of you know, he's dying of bone cancer. He's got it all through his body and skin cancer, but he's got terminal bone cancer. The doctor said that he wouldn't be here in June. Well, it's now October, so he's got a strong heart. So in late May, his doctor and the hospice nurse advised us against taking our planned sabbatical into Europe. As you know, like, we'd started planning this and we bought our tickets last year and we're excited going over to be with our son and, just have time out, and no one could contact us there. Well, just about. And You know, so we're really like looking forward to that. And then we got this news, and when the doctor said he wouldn't be here in June, we're thinking, well, we're leaving on the 9th. You know, maybe he'll go and then we'll go. And it will all work out. But no, it wasn't like that. So this became a real personal battle with God to relinquish the trip. And you think, well, it's just a trip. But it was something that we'd planned for months, and it was a much-needed break from ministry, because we've been in ministry full-time for 12 years. It also meant cancelling was a personal financial loss and the disappointment that went with that. And honesty with God is the best policy, and I really let him have a barrel of honesty, I can say. And it came to a point where I was down the beach in Tauranga, because I've been flying back and forwards, you know, to see my dad and check on things. And I was walking across, because he's just by the beach, I was walking across to Baffinmoa Beach, just having this, God, you know, I just really want to go away, and but I'll do what you want, but I really want to go, but I'll do what you want. And then I just felt like God just, you know, calm my spirit. And I've just felt him saying, Karen, let go. I want you to stay. I'm like, ugh. You know, you're just, you know, having this battle. And I, if you're having a battle with God about something, just be really honest with him. Because he understands us. Yeah. And so I just got to the point, I said, okay, God, whatever you want, it's going to be okay. No. So we realized that God was not just asking, but he was actually wanting us to spend time with my dad in his final months. He wasn't saying, Karen and Joshua, I'm asking you to give this up. But he was saying, I want you to. And that is quite huge for me, that God was actually wanting us to do this. For many of you who have a real close relationship with your father, this would probably be quite easy for you, or maybe easy for you. But for me, I had a personal struggle with rejection from my father for as long as I can remember. You know, from the time I was born, probably. So God was asking me to love, to serve, to stay with for 2 months, and to care for a person who rejected me. I'm not going to cry on my first day back. And, you know, and I've never, ever felt quite his approval. So, you know, that for me was a big ask. Blow it. So, here I am. I'm all good. So aside from this, God was working on our behalf. And just of how he led us to a house, just before we went away, a house came up, unwanted, unloved. And Joshua goes, hey, there's the house for us. And I'm like, really? And we're just like, God, we didn't even see inside the house or anything. We just felt like this was God. And we made an offer. It was accepted. It wasn't even the highest offer. And we're like, okay, God really does want us to go. And he wants us to do a project and be with my dad. And it was, you know, to help us make sense financially in the future. So, you know, he provided beyond what we could even imagine or think. So that's just a side thing. You might hear more about that story, because it's pretty awesome. But when God asks you to do something that's not in your natural ability, he brings the enablement and the grace to do it. That way he gets the glory, and only he gets the glory. Because in myself, I didn't really want to do this. I do love my dad, by the way, very much, in spite of that rejection. Like the first time I washed his feet, as my dad, he's getting forgetful, he's forgetting to wash. So when we got there, let's just say it wasn't pleasant. And he's always been a fastidious man, so it was, you know, quite, and he's not letting the hospice nurses touch him, so it's pretty awful. So, like, I kind of, you know, moved into the, we'll wash your feet first. Hey, Dad, how about I wash your feet? and the open lesions on his feet smelt so bad that I almost threw up, like everything in me. I mean, I throw up at vomit, someone else's vomit. I'm just like, I did a nursing training and I still throw up. I'm really bad with blood, I'm all that kind of stuff. But I could feel also the compassion of God for my father welling up inside of me as I, you know, peeled off his socks and bathed his feet and, you know, had to progress to other areas of his body. God was much more interested in providing my father loving care than what I personally wanted. I wanted a trip away. But God, even though my father had rejected him for so long, my father was shown the love of God by us being sent to be with him over this time. God did not want my dad to be alone. He was so lonely before we came. He was so lonely. He was going to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He just sits in front of the fire all day. He doesn't eat. And he's so alone. And God saw that. God is so amazing. He is so full of love. You know, sometimes we think we need to bring a verse or a message of God's word or say something spiritual. Because sometimes I think, oh, maybe I need to say something to Dad, you know? But as we saw my father come to life just by being with him, loving on him, caring for him, just through our concern and our interest and our feeding him, washing him, you know, just tending to him, he began to awaken to the love of God. And he began to see who God really is. In John 14, verse 8, it says, "No, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." An orphan is someone who has no father or mother, no one to support or care for them. When we first arrived in Tauranga, my dad was just like an orphan. God saw it. He saw him. He saw that he was parentless. He saw that he was uncared for and he was alone. And therefore he chose Joshua. And he definitely chose Joshua. I don't know why he chose me, but he definitely chose Joshua. But he did. He chose us, you know, to come in and reveal God's love to him and to show him what God is like. Because really, my father has not really known what God is like. And God showed his love this way. He sent Josh and I to care for an old, sick man, someone who had rejected God for nearly 85 years. Someone who had rejected me, his daughter. Someone who at times is really difficult to care for. And this is how much God loves us. It's how much he loves us, each of us. In Romans 5, verse 6, it says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at the right time and he died for us sinners." And we sang that beautiful song this morning of what Christ has done for us. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we're still sinners. You know, we have rejected God. We pushed him away. And Christ came and he was so rejected. But he gave the ultimate gift. He gave his life, the ultimate gift, when he hung on that cross, so that we could not be orphans, so we could actually have and know the love of a father. If we can get a grasp of that, you know, in your intimate time that Josh was talking about, if you can get a vision of that, an encounter, the revelation of God's love, it'll change your life. It's a love that overcomes. It's a love that loves even when people reject you. It's a love that does not need man's approval, only God's approval. A love that does not react or become defensive. And I've been really good at that. Love that resists the temptation to take the glory for ourselves. You know, when we do a job and we're like, someone else gets the glory for it, and we're like, I was doing that, you know. And we just, it's love that doesn't take that glory. It's love that allows someone else to get the credit when we deserve it. I really want you to ask God for that revelation of his love, but be prepared to follow Christ into what this really means. Otherwise, don't ask him for it. Don't ask him for it. Because I asked, and he led me on a journey, and I'm only touching on it this morning because of what he did through that time. Even yesterday, you know, I got a, had a bit of a phone call with a family member, and he was really angry, and I was like, I'm just so tired of dealing with this kind of stuff. And so, you know, I just like, I rang back and I was like, you just got to stop this. And he hung up on me. And anyway, I was just like, I got my phone and I thought, I'm preaching on love tomorrow. I have so failed. I said, Josh, I'm failed the love test. But, you know, we're so human and God understands that. He knows how we're wired and he does, you know, it's a journey. It's a journey. That's why I call it a journey into love, because it's a journey that we learn. But the authority that I read at the very beginning, if we don't really understand and know this love of God, we cannot carry the authority of Christ into our world and be overcomers. It's his love that actually really does it in the core of our being. I'd love the worship to come up and do that song. It wasn't the last one, the one before it, I think. Can you do that? It would be awesome. Because singing this song, I want you to look and read the words and take them into your spirit, because this song is very, very powerful and it is showing us the love of God in worship. And I want us all to stand to our feet, because you know, we're before the presence of a God who is full of love, loves us. And if you've, you know, been on a journey, you've been rejected, you've felt like an orphan, you've feel that no one really cares, I ask that you would come forward and receive ministry, receive prayer. If you don't even know this Jesus, this one that has died for you, this one that has given his life up for you so that you won't be an orphan, so that you can know a father's love, then come forward today and just, you know, don't wait any longer to experience God's love. He's waiting for you right now. He's got his arms stretched out for you right now. He wants to receive you to himself. So, you know, let's just worship God. And, yeah, please just come forward if you want to do that. We'd love to pray for you. We really would.